Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Coconut woman says you like me. Coconut make very nice candy. You think that's best if you feel it plumb. It's coconut water with a little rum. It could make you very tipsy. Make you feel like a gypsy. Coca got a lot of iron. Make you strong like a lion.
Good yawning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It's Thursday, the 5th of June, 2025, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. We are one day away from Labor Day and the Labor Day Parade. Okay, I got awaiting a guest to join us to talk about something related to the parade. It's a bit of a surprise. I can't wait for them to get here so we can hear more of the news, to hear the news. You heard that song we opened up the show with. That's Coconut Woman. We know that song has been performed by Freddie Munnings. It's been performed by the Eloise Trio. That's Eloise Lewis Trio. And that remix is just a remix that some regular, ordinary person made on the request of their co-worker. And it's just like a little brief description of what they had to do to create that. So that song was Coconut Woman, remixed by LUAP314. That's LUAP314. People love Bahamian music, you know. That's why I'm so excited for the second installment in our music series about the musical Archipelago, 3-volume anthology on the history of Bahamian music produced by Crystal Walks. Today's music is all selected from the era pre-1942, which was the Burma Road Riot, and into the 60s, just past the 1957-58 riot. All of the music I have today comes from that era, or is a song, a remix of a song from that era. But before we get into that, two things. Until the guest comes, I'm going to sort of keep it open line. You can call in. You talk about what you want to talk about. I could be talking about music. I think we could do both things at the same time. We're in the government. We could chew gum and hop along at the same time. But I wanted to say something before we got into the music portion of the show. Yesterday on Nuri's show, Guardian Radio AM with C8 Nuri, we were having a conversation about millionaires in politics. And I realized, after a little thought, I came up with a proper answer. Mr. Nuri asked me, why would a millionaire want to be a politician? And more specifically, why would they want to become a part of the Bahamian political system in that sense, like frontline politics? And I tell you, here's what the answer is. The answer is this. So when you have millions and millions of dollars, you have lots of money that you could make available for charitable efforts, right? And we could see that there are some millionaires in the country that engage in tons of charitable efforts. But maybe a millionaire said to themselves, if I continue on this road of charitable ventures, all of my money just giving people handouts, within a relatively short period of time, I could drain my own wealth trying to help people through charity. Perhaps the millionaire says to themselves, I'm going into politics because I can see that structural reform is what is actually required. Because without structural reform, we'll throw all our money at charity. And I think that's the correct answer. That's the reason why a politician, a millionaire, multimillionaire should become a politician, because they can see that charitable efforts alone will not make the mark. Let's go to the phone line producer, and then we're going to play some more music. Good morning, caller.
Morning, Aaron.
Good morning. How you do?
Fine. I keep remembering like they got 20 million to do Pyman Guns, right?
Yeah.
Army Corps engineers came and tell us what to do. We need to lower the water tables by massive pumps and pump the water in the Seabreeze Canal or Oak to Sea. You could put 1,000 drains, but there's nowhere to water to go.
I got you, yeah.
We were told it years ago. It's like New Orleans is below
sea level.
Sea level, you know. But then before a storm, they lower the table. They pump the water out somewhere else. Mm-hmm. We have to buy pumps to pump to lower the water.
You're right.
Lower the pumps.
And guess what? All of that water would have been available for use during this period of drought that we're experiencing.
Yeah, or pump it to the sea.
Or you could pump it to the sea or into a storage container, a massive.
Or into the canal.
Yes, sir.
But putting down drains, they're putting drains in the ocean. There's nowhere for the water to go. We have to lower the water to massive pumps.
Okay.
That is simple.
Thank you. It's the Army Corps of Engineers.
Benny, tell us that.
Could you give me a reference that I could use to perhaps look up the policy paper or
look at the Tribune or the Guardian
and just search that. Okay.
About 25 years ago, they came and tell you that you only need to lower the water table for to stop the flooding.
All right, thank you.
Because putting down drains ain't to stop the flooding.
I got you. I agree. Thank you very much.
All right.
Let's go to the next caller quickly. Good morning, caller. You there? Oh, I'm sorry. I missed you. Let's go to the next caller quickly before we go back to music. Good morning, caller. You there? Producer, let's go to the next caller. Good morning, caller. Good morning. I could hear you.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Green.
How are you?
How you doing?
I good.
Yeah, man. Aaron, what's up, man?
Everything is good.
Yeah, man. This is Mark Trinkles from 242 Small Business Association Resource Center.
Yes, sir.
Well, you know, you're my most famous
cousin.
Radio talk show.
Yeah.
And I want to wish the small business workers a great 242 Small Business Association Resource Center will be on a march tomorrow. And I want them to have fun and not to be political and just focus on enjoying their employers and doing the right thing and doing a great thing in the workplace, because without the employer and employee, that is going to happen. So thank you so much for allowing me on the radio.
Absolutely. I can call you for next week or the week after, so we could talk about the budget from the perspective of the Small Business Development Center.
Okay, thank you so much.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Because that is a specific sector of the workforce that has specific needs. Good morning, caller.
Green, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How you do?
Good. Just let me say something, but for 3 minutes on Pinewood Garden. You see, you're familiar with Pinewood Garden?
Not too much, but
They have a basketball court right on Isaiah Park.
Right, that's the one by the roundabout coming from Charles Sanders Highway.
Now, I want you to tell me if I'm making sense. I'm a high school, almost dropout. I barely graduated. Lift that basketball court up. Lift that up. Put a tank
underneath
down in there, holding tank.
Yep.
Okay?
That's what they do in Japan.
So the roads, you don't have to do nothing with the roads, you know. Yes, they do. All of those roads already have drains.
Okay.
You put some nice pipe in those drains and slant the pipe so all the water could run in one direction.
To the park?
Straight to the hole.
Okay.
You could never full that. If you full that, you go so far down, 200, 100 feet, whatever, you don't go. You go down in there, and if it gets full, you always have a pumping service, like the gentleman said earlier, to pump it out to the canal.
Okay, so that's the midway. Seat. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and with that also, the farmers, like you say, for the dry growth season, the farmers could use that. Instead of the fire truck going all about looking for water, they could go there and get water. You can use that water. You can even turn that into drinking water if you want to with the osmosis program.
Yes, sir. I am agreeing with you.
But you can just hold all the water in one spot.
Japan is doing it right now.
And a lot of people a lot of people say that Pinewood has a, is only certain that that
floods.
That water problem, you know.
Yeah.
That same area where they beeline those build treasure, all that dirt, they went too deep down.
I got you. Listen,
that's
thank you.
But that's a fix, man. That's a fix.
Thank you.
That's a fact.
Yeah, man. And thank you very much for those who are interested in the concept the call is talking about. Japan has implemented this, I think, almost over a decade ago, where they capture runoff water in case of emergency, but also to use for landscaping purposes, like beaches and parks would use the water to irrigate all the parks. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron.
How are you, sir?
Man, I'm fine. I thoroughly, I must say, I enjoyed listening to the minister on Dwight's show, the way she flowed with her words, smooth. She wasn't like searching, trying to figure out how to stay alive the right way. She just flowed. Man, she sounds...
Who is this?
I think she's a role, Glover Role.
Oh, Pia Glover Role.
Yeah. She's wonderful, man.
Well, let me tell you something about Pia Glover Role. When she stepped into that role, pun intended, she showed us what it means to be a statesman.
Okay, good. So I'm on the right track.
Yeah, man.
Okay.
I mean, I could separate like policy from performance in this sense that I may not like the policies, but I could appreciate the professionalism, the way in which she does the government's business, the way in which she does PR, right? Like, and speaking to the public, speaking in interviews. She's an excellent example of a politician.
Dwight wanted to keep until 10, but she said, look, I got work to do. I love that lady.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, the reason I didn't know is because when I see the cabinet minister plate in the parking lot, I stay away because sometimes they feel like you're ambushing them. But it's just because my questions is be heavy all the time. I just wake up with heavy questions on my head.
Man, I just love the way you do your show as well, because you think it out and you probably take it home and you dream about it and you... I'm sure you get up in the middle of the night and make some notes. I mean, are you telling me it takes a millionaire to call in to tell you that lowering the water table would solve the problem? I've seen that you want millionaires in politics. A lot of millionaires who probably got ideas that have been given to the government, but the government refused to use it because they want to find something that they could first put in a high inflated budget, figure out how the money is going to be used up otherwise. Maybe I'm just suggesting, because pumps really, you know... You can actually ask for donation for pumps from millionaires to just solve that problem. The millionaire who developed that area should just put the pumps in and lower the water table. How about that?
I think it's a great idea.
Okay, then.
Thank you very much. Just before we go to the next caller, which you made me think about something I was thinking about from yesterday's show. What if the issue is that the policymakers cannot effectively harness the potential of the technicians, the skilled experts, right, in the ministry that they are responsible for? Let's go to the next caller. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning, Aaron.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. The politicians, right, there was a question asked about millionaires coming, going in the house to sell me or something like that.
Yeah, from yesterday's show. Yeah.
Yeah, but hey, like, yeah, they go there simply because that's the investment, you know. Millionaires only look to become, you know, their dream is to become billionaires. So they ain't going there to try to really make no impact, right? Because they didn't need to go there to make no impact because they're already millionaires, right? But what I really wanted to...
You still there?
Yes, hello.
Okay. Hi, I got you. I ain't hung up yet.
Okay, yes. Haiti was put on a stop list to America, right?
Yeah, the recent announcement yesterday, 19 countries on the list, 12 outright banned, 7 restricted access.
Okay, so my concern as a concerned citizen of this small little nation, right, what does that mean? And when you think shortly we can hear somebody addressing what that means for the Bahamas? Because if Haitians are no longer allowed to go to America, and they still come in here, and we still believe in that they come in here to go there, right? What did that mean for the Bahamas, man? You know, it's a very serious
cousin. Not just that, it's a very serious question. I'm awaiting a statement from the Ministry of Education and the Ministry of Foreign Affairs for a sense of their approach to the new academic visa restriction policies, right, that are arising. And I don't think it's unreasonable for the policymakers to come to us and say, we're aware of what's happening globally or with our closest external partners, and we are preparing policy considerations.
Okay, before I go, right, see, America knows what's going on in this country, and our leaders, they just try. They have this perception as if, you know, nobody knows what's going on, only them, mm-hmm. right? But we're seeing the effect of what's going on in this country, right? We're feeling the effect, and if we don't do something about the level of corruption what of this country and the quagmire it's in today.
Mm-hmm. We have greater problems.
Greater problems. Have a nice day.
Thank you, cousin. Thank you very much. Producer, play that song by George Simonette, Man Smart, Woman Smarter. I'm going to just get into the text line. Millionaires in politics, LOL, we have witnessed this phenomena of millionaires sitting in the parliament and the only focus was dividing the pie amongst the millionaire class. Nothing more, nothing less. Greed and power. Here's another text. I agree with the caller. I sent this to Dwight. He read it. I'm impressed. She sounds like a PM. She speaks with authority. She appears to be well-versed in the area she was given authority over. There does not appear to be any color emotion involved in the execution of her duties, and there's no excessive baseless PR hyperbole in her delivery. I need more details. On the surface, I'd say it's the example candidate we need across both parties. I'm watching you, Mrs. Glover Roll, continue to do well. I'm a heavy critic, so I can give you your due when it is due. Whenever you're ready, producer, you play that music. The article.
Not me. It's the people who say that the men are leading the women astray. But I say, oh Lord, the women of today smarter than the men in every way. Ever since the world began, woman was always fooling man. So if you listen to me attentively, I'm gonna tell you how the women are fooling me.
Not me.
It's the people who say that the men are leading the women astray. But I say, oh Lord, the women of today smarter than the men.
Now, producer, I have a bone to pick with you. You know, today I was years old when I find out that King Eric Gibson and his knights did the original Burma Road. I saw in my fields. I was almost ashamed of myself for not knowing, but then I realized, no, you don't hold shame like that. Now you know, you do something about it. So we going to play King Eric Gibson and his knights Burma Road.
Don't mind loving stuff. Don't mind loving stuff.
Don't fire the baby.
La 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 la.
Josiah the JP.
La 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 la.
Josiah the JP.
No mind the Kingston.
Josiah the JP.
No mind the Kingston.
Producer, play. Like, I was last 9 years old when I find out George Simonette did his own version of Jones O' Jones as well. I all in my feelings. I don't know, producer. Either George Simonette Jones O' Jones or King Eric Gibson and his knights. I can't find Jerry Rocanton. Well, here we go. The Jones O' Jones, George Simonette.
Jones O' Jones, you know you can't last long. Jones O' Jones, please bring my woman back home. I got my papa Daniel bit me, gonna get me a gallon gun. When I meet you, Jones, it ain't no use to run. I got the undertaker with me, the ambulance too. A student doctor offered me money for you. I'm gonna kill you dead and bury you, dig you up for fun. I'm gonna stand and watch the bus and pick the meat up your bones. I'm gonna have my wedding put you, chop you through and through. I'm gonna chop you up in pieces, just big enough for student. When I get through, everybody gonna moan. Jones or Jones? Jones. You know you can't last long. Jones O' Jones, please bring my woman back home. Jones, you told me that
You were my personal pal, but you son of a bum, you came and sold her. Where my gal, so I got another gal.
Listen, all of these songs, these play them we're playing, they could play right now and be relevant, be culturally relevant. Okay, so I think my guest is on his way up to studio. I did a little research last night. I searched Bahamian Music 1942 and then Bahamian Music 1957. Those were not good search terms. Let me just say that. Let me tell you what I found. In 1942, Bahamian music was characterized by gumbe music, a style rooted in West African traditions and often featuring goatskin drums. It was a prevalent style of both song and dance before the rise of electronic or pop music. Additionally, rake and scrape music, a unique instrumental style, was also developing using a saw and screwdriver to create a distinctive sound. Here's something else that came up when I searched 1942. Tony McKay, Exuma, the Obey Man, was born on the 18th of February, 1942. And then I found this article. I want to say thank you to Raphael Munnings for posting it, and then to Bahamian Art and Culture for sharing it. It's titled Bahamian Musicians, and it's from a publication, I think, that's called Welcome Bahamas, Nassau, Cable Beach and Paradise Island in 2003. Here we go. Although Nassau's musical scene has evolved over the last half century, some veterans are still making music around town. Before 1949, when the Bahamas Musicians and Entertainers Union was formed by the late Charles Fisher, most hotels imported musical talent from the U.S. and were off limits to Bahamian musicians. When hotel entertainment finished at 10 or 11 p.m., tourists would head in droves downtown or over the hill to Bahamian night spots. Quote, the 50s and 60s were the golden era of over-the-hill Bahamian nightclubs, which proliferated due to the rising spending power of the Bahamians and the rapid growth of tourism, says a 1977 Bahamas Handbook story. So here we go. Quote, the new nightclubs were nonetheless important social crossing places, say Gail Saunders and Michael Creighton in their comprehensive history, Islanders in the Stream. Quote, not just for tourists, but for different levels of local society where authentic native music and dance were sustained and developed. Raphael Munnings, whose father owned the Cat and the Fiddle on Nassau Street in the heady days of the 50s, recalled some of the big names who were frequent guest stars at the club. Sam Cooke, Frank Sinatra Jr., James Brown, Aretha Franklin, and Nat King Cole were a few of the many that performed at the Cat and the Fiddle. Even though we appreciated our musical guests, the show would not be complete unless a Bahamian group took the privilege of sharing our culture through song and dance, said Munnings at the reopening of the British Colonial Hilton in 1998. He goes on to say, the Cat and the Fiddle was more than a nightclub. It was an entertainment complex. When my father opened up the Ghana Room to commemorate Ghana 9, right? And here's the thing. Like that's the strike was 1957-58. And these guys open up the Ghana Room to commemorate Ghana's independence in 1959. That could give you a sense of the thinking and the collective thinking. When Gail Saunders and Creighton say that it was an important social crossing place, you could see that the spaces were infused with ideology. I mean, I'm telling you all, I ain't dissing my generation, but this time period here may have been the most exciting time in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. All right, so they opened up, so the Cat and Fiddle opened up the Ghana Room in 59, then the Lion's Den, where many young entertainers like Raphael, who created at the club and at that time got their start, with Charles Carter and the Young Bahamians radio show, right? People were playing at hotels, the Royal Victoria, Emerald Beach, Montague Beach, British Colonial. Royal Victoria had Little Joe Winder and with his steel band playing. They had singer Vince Martin, guitarist and singer Eloise Lewis and her trio performing at Emerald Beach, Montague 3 plus 1 at the Montague Beach Hotel, and trumpeter Lou Adams, now at Lyford Key, was at the British Colonial. Music in the big hotels generally stopped at 10. Then the nights came alive. Nassau supported about 40 nightclubs in the 1960s. They were usually full. Tourists loved the music and dancing that often went on into the morning hours. So here's the thing. It feels like a nightclub, a proper band and not just piped in music may be the key to reigniting overnight cruising in the Bahamas. I got a text here that says, I like the tune of Jones O' Jones, but I certainly took exception to the descriptive lyrics of violence. See, here's the thing. This is why I continue to play it. I want us to hear that. So we stop perpetuating this myth, this falsehood, that it's these young people that introduce all this violence into our society. It always been there. It always been there. But tell you, it is a nice tune. And producer, let's play one of the remixes, either Love Alone by Blind Blake or Don't Touch My Tomato by George Simonette, or even the remix of Sloop John B. On my list today, I have some new music, some old music, and some even older music. I have performances of Sponge Money from January 1940. We have some music. Get the Junkanoo in there. This is Sponge of Money by Theodore T. Roll. This is Hoist Up the John B. Sail performed by Theodore Roll. No, this is Sponge of Money, producer.
Now I'm the jump is there, they see all these men to bed. Tell them again and don't let me go home, let us go home. Oh, I feel alone, let us go. Hey, boy.
All right, so this song is captured in a Voices of America anthology. It is Hoist Up the John B. Sail, vocals with guitar, piano, and trombone, performed by Theodore T. Roll, that's T-E-A-R-O-L-L, Roll, R-O-L-L-E, at Key West, Florida on the 40, right? And T. Roll is a Bahamian. Bahamian American.
Well, you're so broke up, I wanna go home. So hoist up the John B. sail and see how the mainsail sets. Call for the captain ashore, let me go home. Let me go home. I wanna go home, yeah, yeah. Well, I feel so broke up, I wanna go home. The first mate, he got drunk. He broke in the captain's trunk. The constable had to come and take him away. Sheriff Johnstone, why don't you leave me alone? Yeah. Well, I feel so broke up, I wanna go home. So hoist up the John B. Hoist up the John B. See how the mainsail, see how.
Selected that version because it's all acoustic. It's a cappella, acoustic, it's all a cappella. There's no musical instruments there except for their voices. and it's a beautiful rendering of a Bohemian classic. Producer, I want you to play one by Duke Hanna, either Chinese Children or Small Hope. I play Small Hope, because I've been to Small Hope Bay, and I've been to Small Hope Bay Lodge, and it's a vibe. It is a vibe. It's an experience. But when I heard this song, Small Hope, it took me back to movies, American movies that I haven't seen in decades. Listen to this sound, this vibe. Duke Hanna could have been recording music for almost any movie coming out of America in the 50s and 60s. Like, that sound just took me back to a whole, like, slew of movies I watched. Duke Hanna could have performed anywhere in the world. But, see, the reason I planned this song, as we prepare for the Labor Day Parade, the first thing is this. I didn't want to be a part of the thing I call the problem. If the problem is politicizing Labor Day, then let's talk in different ways about Labor Day. So with this playlist today, like, I'm trying to put us in that, take us back to that time so we could get a sense of the energy, the spirit, the collective energy, what people were thinking, what was inspiring their thoughts, what were they doing, how were they expressing themselves, and more importantly, how were we sort of connecting, engaging the world with this musical identity. Producer, I don't know, maybe it's time to go to a break. If we get time, if you could play something to take us to the break. I'm going to read this text. It says, it depends on character. Wealth can go horribly wrong in the wrong hands. Bill Gates recently said of Elon Musk, quote, the picture of the richest man in the world killing the poorest children in the world is not a pretty one, close quotes. The comment was in response to the fallout from the gutting of U.S. aid, which provided food and HIV medicine aid to the poorest in the world. Okay, producer, play the music. We're going to a break, and when we get back from the break, if my guest isn't here, we can continue walking down memory lane. You're on the clock. Stay tuned.
My house, I just removed my wife. So, what more you wanna fight? Oh, damn it, I'll throw. Just tell me what more you want. Bushcraft and mango. Tell me what more you want. Well, now you trust me, but Jesus, you're not paying me no money. Tell me what more you wanna, boy.
At Cleveland Clinic, care is everything. So when your primary purpose is to care for the world, you'd start with your community. Until you're accessible anywhere, you make complexities your specialties and put compassion before anything else, all to redefine what's possible for everyone, everywhere, for every care in the world. Cleveland Clinic.
Love the show? Support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
It's time to give away a cruise. Guardian Media Group and Going Places Travel wants to take you on a 7-day cruise for four to Panama, Colombia, Curacao, and Aruba on Royal Caribbean Serenade off the seas. And here's the best part. No visa required. That's right, no visa required. You have four ways to enter, four ways to win. Number one,
Fill out the form in the NASA Guardian. Number 2, listen to Star 106.5 and Guardian Radio 96.9. Number 3, follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Number 4, or make a purchase at any Going Places Travel. Entry deadline is June 27th, 2025. Drawing will be taking place on July 4th, 2025. So you know what that means? Pack your bags and get ready to soak up the sun and feel the ocean breeze. You and three loved ones sailing the high seas on a vacation cruise of a lifetime. Brought to you by the Guardian Media Group and Going Places Travel. Certain conditions apply. Airfare, taxes, and gratuities not included. Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Aaron Green. Listen, Guardian Media Group and Going Places Travel want to take you on a 7-day cruise for 4 to Panama, Colombia, Curacao, and Aruba on Royal Caribbean's Serenade of the Seas. And here's the best part. No visa required. That's right, no visa required. You have 4 ways to enter, 4 ways to win. 1, fill out the form in the Nassau Guardian. 2, listen to Star 106.5 and Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. 3, follow us on Facebook and Instagram. 4, make a purchase at Going Places Travel. Entry deadline is June 27, 2025. Drawing on July 4th, 2025. So pack your bags, get ready to soak up the sun and feel that ocean breeze. You and three loved ones sailing the high seas on a vacation of a lifetime. Brought to you by the Guardian Media Group and Going Places Travel. Certain conditions apply, airfare, taxes, and gratuities not included. All right, caller, I see you. Let's get to it. Good morning, you're on the clock.
Good morning, Aaron. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good, man. Blessings, peace, and love to you. Listen, you called the name and it rang. It brought back so many memories. You called Vince Martin's name.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember my father, Donald Curry, was a band member in that when it was Vince Martin and the Quartets.
Okay.
And they used to practice in our house.
What?
We had a room set aside with musical instruments in it, and they would practice right there at the house in the evening times during the week.
Nice. Yeah, man, like these are the experience we got to start the music, how they made the music. And this beautiful space where people were able to play with different bands at the same time.
Yep, yes. Yeah, because my daddy played with several other bands. I don't remember all of them right now, but he was a pretty good guitarist, man.
Okay.
I used to watch my old man fall asleep and still be picking the keys.
Wow, yeah. That's his love. Okay,
yeah,
so you're documenting as much as you can, right?
Now that you brought back those memories, I am going to go back and look at some of those pictures. And I know he had a couple of old albums around the house, so I'm going to start going through them and looking through them, and I'll get back to you on that.
All right, you take pictures of everything, and then I'm going to link you with Arnold Rapp Wilson, the archivist, and Professor Crystal Walks Francis, the musical archivist.
Okay, cool, man.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Okay.
All right. Let's go to the next call. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning, Aaron. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Yeah, enjoying the history. But what period was Shea Paul Mayers? What period did that research?
Hold on. Give me a second.
The 40s, hey, y'all, because research big binder on the late pianist Taylor got his teeth cut there. And I think opposite Keats on the corner right there, I think it was 30s or 40s. Eh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, research that period in the music and the club. That club used to be. I see Charles Carter doing documentary on Time on TV. He showed the pictures and some videos, and they used to be full with tourists in the 30s and 40s.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. Here we go. Internationally acclaimed dancer Paul Mayers owned Shea Paul, Mayors, a combined theater and nightclub on Fleming Street. This was where young Berkeley Taylor got his start as a drummer in the late 1940s.
Yeah, I love this. I can hang up and I can finish listening. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, Aaron. All right. Good show again. Keep it up.
Thank you. Because then, see, if I can complain that the politicians hogging up Labor Day, well, then let's create different ways to engage Labor Day, and engaging Labor Day through the music is one of the sweetest ways, other than talking to the people who was there. Producer, is this a new caller? No. Good morning, caller.
Yeah, good morning, Ms. Green.
Good morning. How you do?
Yeah, my good friend tried to bring back some nostalgia. He was in Iran. You know, I had a chance to catch, the King of Knights. And you call everybody's, you call all the entities, but one of the things told me was the Balmoral Beach.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But you call the Emerald Beach. But I have a friend who's a mayor, a lady friend, who's a mayor, which is a very unusual name.
Mm-hmm.
So she has some children for a famous lawyer, but I'll call and try and find out some information on that if I could.
Okay.
But I think it was surrounded folks, Foxson, who taught me music in St. John. Someone would have to remind me, maybe Belinda, because I heard her call all of their names. But I know, I think that was his son that taught me music when I first met. The family of Saranda Lenoblitz. You know, Aaron, you know, I hate to hear conversations about Labor Day without bigging up Saranda to the fullest, because when you read the book, I actually cried when I read the book, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I cried because I couldn't believe there was a black man at that time with that much gonads, right?
Mm-hmm.
Against the status quo. So let's big up Saranda. There's nothing he can handle. And he was never involved in a scandal. Bless up.
Bless up. It is the Sir Randall Fox Labor Day Parade. Producer, I got a text here. Say, please end the show. Well, please play Sponge Your Money at some time. All right, I'm going to continue reading just a little bit. Among the high-profile performers were limbo artist Sweet Richard and dancers Abby Lafleur and Peaches. Downtown night spots included the Big Bamboo, downstairs on Bay Street and East Street, Black Bear Steakhouse, a Bay Street restaurant where George Simonette used to entertain, Andre Toussaint Trio provided after-dinner music, and the Junkanoo Club. There was the Bucket of Blood in the infamous Charlotte Hotel, right? Now, this is interesting. The infamous Charlotte Hotel on George Street dated back to Prohibition days. Among its patrons, quote, among its patrons were the tall, dark, and handsome shipbuilder Captain Bill McCoy and his frequent sidekick bootlegger Gertrude Queen Cleo Lithgow, according to a story in the 2021 Bahamas Handbook. Quote, McCoy's honesty in providing uncut liquors spawned the phrase, the real McCoy. Ironically, McCoy never smoked nor drank. The hotel was initially called the Nassau Hotel and later the Charlotte before it was destroyed in the devastating downtown fire of 1942. Producer, let's go to the phone line. Did y'all know that the phrase, the real McCoy, came from the Bahamas? Last night, years old, when I found that out. Let's go to the phone line. Caller, you there? We seem to be having difficulty with the phone line this morning. Caller, if 325-4259 is not working for you, you could also call 323-6232, 325-4316, 242-300-5720, toll-free for Family Island listeners. Producer, let's go to the next call. Good morning, caller.
Hi, Aaron.
Hi. Calling
the... just give you another story you said about the real McCoy.
Okay.
The real McCoy came from the name of a man named McCoy who invented the 3M oil. And when they used that, they would say this is the real McCoy.
Okay. Okay.
To look it up, McCoy, he invented the 3M oil.
Okay, I will do.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Absolutely. Here's a little bit more history in a moment. Franklin Ellis. Y'all know who Franklin Ellis is? I didn't know who Franklin Ellis was either. until I realized that I always knew who Franklin Ellis was. Franklin Ellis, almost 80, coming to you right now, caller, has been entertaining Bahamians and visitors for half a century. Although best known as Calypso, as a Calypso musician, he's also an accomplished composer as well as drum, bass, guitar, keyboard, sax, trumpet, trombone, and steel drums musician. While attending the New York School of Music in 1956, he won the Caribbean Song Contest and earned the title of Count Bernardino. His other songwriting or collaboration credits include My Ding-a-Ling, Time Marches On, and again, I was last night years old when I found out the pepper in the Vaseline and Red Shoes. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Hey, top of the morning, Aaron. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. So I challenge your last caller.
Okay.
The real McCoy, from what I read, comes from, the McCoy story that you just read.
Mm-hmm.
He was a rum runner, and back in those days in Prohibition, the guys used to water down the whiskey and the rum.
Mm-hmm.
But if you sip on it, and it wasn't watered down, because McCoy didn't used to water down his liquor, they call it the real McCoy.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's either his daughter or his granddaughter lives up in Harbor Island. She used to live in Exuma, but she's still alive.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Thanking you.
That happened before 1973. So you know these politicians don't want no history prior to independence coming out there, right?
Because sometimes, because politics is all about stories and narratives. And politicians choose the stories and narratives that are politically expedient in the moment.
You're exactly right.
And so the risk of that...
1973 ain't happening.
Yeah, the risk of that is that we lose so much important history. Listen,
so you mentioned Count Bernardino just now.
Yeah.
I mean, look at all these, yesteryear entertainers. They used to have the U.S. entertainers down here, and then the U.S. entertainers would invite them back to the States to perform.
Yes.
And there's so much rich history in that culture that's just been lost for what? For people to self-promotion in politics.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. It's a travesty.
It is indeed. All right, my dear. You have a lovely day.
Thanking you.
Thank you.
All right, I get the next caller, and then I think my guest has arrived. We're going to transition the last few moments. Producer, let's take the call just very quickly. Caller, you got 30 seconds. I know you've been waiting. Good morning.
Hi, morning. I'd like to go on the show.
You on there?
Oh, okay.
We're talking music this morning.
Okay. Morning.
Good morning.
Good.
Good morning, sir. Are you okay?
Yeah, no, I was just wondering. I'm still here, but apparently she's talking to somebody else on the
TV. No, sir, I'm talking to you. You have to turn the radio down. Turn the radio down, sir.
I got the radio turned down. It's actually off.
Okay, good. And your name, sir?
Hannah. John Hannah.
Good morning, John Hannah. We're talking about music, Bahamian music, this morning from the 40s to the early 60s.
Yeah, it's an interesting show. So we're mentioning people from my era.
Yes, sir.
From the Cat and the Fiddle and Banana Boat and places like that. There were a lot of clubs around at that time. And what I have in my possession is some unusual stuff. I got a photograph from Nat King Cole. I remember, these are Americans, really. And Otis Redding, I remembered him at the Captain Fiddle because I went to Government High. And what we did was we would peep over the top of the cat. There was a wall in the back of the cat, the field, where Commonwealth Bank is now. And after class, mm-hmm. we would go over there and peep over the wall and watch the shows that were performing at the Cat in the Fiddle.
Y'all are the reason why Corinne Mitchell wouldn't let me off the side porch 30 years later. Mr. Hannah, if you're still listening, I need you a moment to turn on the radio. If anybody listening to my voice right now knows that Mr. Hanna, I need you to tell him. I need him to call the show again on Monday because I want him to call again on Wednesday the 11th. I'm doing another music-specific show with Professor Walks Francis, and I would love for Mr. Hanna to call us on the 11th. Now, my guest has just come into studio. We are at the end of the hour. I would like him to introduce himself because I'm going to beg favor from the next host to see if I could get 5 to 10 minutes at the top of their hour to continue this conversation. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. I'm Mike Foster, former chairman of the Valley Boys.
Okay.
And I was asked by my chairman to come in and have a conversation with you on recent matters dealing with the Valley Boys.
Yes, because typically the Valley Boys are on the Labor Day Parade, right?
Yes, we are.
Are you going to be there tomorrow?
Yes, I will.
Okay. This is what people want to know. Because maybe the Valley Boys being on the Labor Day Parade is more important than the Valley Boys being on the Boxing Day and New Year's Day Parade.
That is correct.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, Mr. Mike Foster, we got just a couple of minutes. Tell us what you've come to share with us today, and then we can get into it, I think, on the next side.
Well, I think you would have been following the news and would have realized that the court has made some rulings, in particular with regard to who.
Okay.
What we find amazing right now is the positioning of the JCMP on this matter.
Okay.
And I think I was asked to come and speak to that, in specifically to that. I think the public already knows that we are the Valley Boys. The court and legal system recognizes us as the Valley Boys. The other side, the Way Forward persons, would have gone to the appeals court and lost that too.
Okay.
So we don't really understand the positioning of the JCMP in this whole matter at this particular time, which we will contest legally in a short day or two.
Okay.
But we're trying to avoid that by not persuading, but asking them to follow the rule of the law.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But for some reason, and I guess we'll talk about it a little bit more, I'll give my opinion about their reasons and so forth with regard to their positioning, suggesting that after that demonstration of Boxing Day and New Year's last year, they still want to consider us that we have to exhibit. And what exactly is exhibition?
Right. The difference between an exhibition,
yes,
and a fun group.
That's correct.
Right.
Yeah.
You know. Okay.
So I assume you're going to your break, you said.
Well, we have to end the show. I have to confer with the next host to see if
okay.
it's possible to extend
yeah.
the conversation into the next hour.
Absolutely.
If it's not possible, if they have a guest or a Zoom guest, someone in a different time zone, mm-hmm. I will beg your pardon
yes.
and ask if on Tuesday you could join me to do the follow-up.
We can do that. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, yeah. So, producer, take us to a break. Play the Sponge of Money. I mean, I know we all out of time, right? But when you hear Sponge of Money performed in 1940,
mm-hmm.
right, it really gives you a sense of who we are, who we were, where we came from, mm-hmm. and the impact that Bahamians and Bahamian music has had on the world and the psyche of Bahamians.
It's interesting that I walked in on the show talking about music. I was a child that grew up in Basin Sedition. So I was in the mm-hmm. in the circle of Bahamian music and its development in my early days, particularly the 60s and the 70s. And some of the names you just call, I was familiar with those persons.
Mm-hmm.
I lived on Fortman Castle next door to Jackson Burnside, and there was a steel pan unit in our backyard.
Producer, play the music, because I get ready to row. First of all, I like rowing.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, I like rowing old people.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, it's a different type of joy.
You ain't calling me old.
No, not you. I row damn set. But y'all Fort Hill people, and y'all over the hill people, y'all have all the gems. Y'all have all the stories.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all have all the experiences, and you're hogging them up.
Yeah.
You're keeping them for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And we need you all to transfer it. This is better than money. You know, I mean, put some money in your will for your children, definitely. But put these stories in their hearts before you pass.
Yeah. So, I am the grandchild of Boyd Cambridge.
like royalty in the house, man.
Yeah, you know, I wasn't a part of the immediate family, but, you know, I was sort of outside. But I was able to speak with him in his latter days. And,
okay.
So I have to biologically call him my grandfather, so
Yes.
So I know a lot about what he told me in his latter days, you know?
Yes.
I also, as a child in the 60s, was sneaking to the Silver Slipper to watch the guys practice. Of course, we couldn't go to the shows at the evening time. So, you know, I was listening to the show coming here, and I would say, wow, you know?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. This is Sponge Money. As we close the show, thank you, producer, for your patience. Sponge of Money, performed by Theodore T. Roll, recorded 23rd of January, 1940. Mm-hmm. You guys have a great day. You've been On the Clock with Aaron Green and Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri is up next.
Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app. Nassau, Bahamas.